Mr. Feeney? Mr. Feeney? Mr. Feeney!
All right.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the Feeney Call.
Yeah. I'm Megan.
I'm Skylar. And,
thanks for joining us today.
Yeah. So. We're great at intros.
Yes. So great. There's no smooth way to...
No.
Segue in, no. So whatever.
I think we need to probably just, like, one of us has to secretly hit record and wait till we just roll into
it. Yes, and it'll just naturally happen.
Right. Really, instead of this forced hello.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also, I mean...
Next time.
All right, sure.
Baby steps. You live and you learn.
We live and we learn. Today, we're talking about season 1, episode 5 of...
The title is Killer Bee.
Killer Bee,
mm-hmm.
Boy Meets World, Season 1, Episode 5.
Yes.
Killer Bee.
So I'm going to give
there
us
are
a
no bees.
30-second run. There aren't. You're right.
There are no bees in this
what
episode.
An outrage.
What an episode. All right, Megan, 30-second recap.
30-second recap.
Ready, set, go.
Okay, so Corey has no interest in this Geography Bee that's happening until he learns that the prize is to be the Bat Boy of the World Series. Then he's like, I have to do it. So he convinces Minkus to be cool, and then... When Minkus drops out, he convinces Feeney to let him go, and then he's super disappointed when he doesn't win. Also, side plot, Eric is pissed because his parents want to go to the Aerosmith concert, and he is like, no, that's not cool, you can't go, I'm taking my date there, and they're like, fuck you, we're going anyway, we bought tickets, we have third row.
Time. That was good.
That was pretty good.
You got that was really good, I think. You got deeper into the details than we normally make it. It was good. It was succinct. It was nice.
I've watched enough episode of Gilmore Girls. I know how to talk fast.
I've never watched it.
What an episode.
I did see a Gilmore Girls musical parody.
Okay.
And I didn't understand most
I'm
of the
sure.
jokes.
Yes. I'm sure. It's very,
but the people I was with loved it.
Okay.
So.
So it must have been good.
If you have any reference for the show itself, it was enjoyable,
okay.
From what I understand.
Anyway, this is all not relevant.
Great. So, we just did our 30-second recap. Let's talk about what we can learn from the killer bee over here.
Actually, do you want to go first? Because mm-hmm. I went first last time.
Sure, I'll go first. What did we learn this week? This one's tough.
It is tough.
It's really like just a sitcom-y episode. So here's what... All right. So what I learned, I guess, is that... or what we all hopefully learn. By the end of this episode, you know, Corey, he's motivated for selfish reasons mm-hmm. to pursue this Geography Bee. But in the process, he discovers that he actually enjoys what he's learning about. And while he loses the Geography Bee miserably, he gets an A for the first time on a quiz in Feeney's class. And so this one's a powerful episode, I guess, about education and the incentive to learn. Because Corey initially has no incentive to learn.
Yes.
And you know, he gets a C on this quiz and complains that he actually studied for it, right? But then when he actually tries his hardest, because Feeney has a conversation with him where, you know, Corey apologizes for losing Feeney his first place trophy again.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I really tried my hardest. And Mr. Feeney's like, do you really believe that? And he says, yes, I really do. I think I tried my hardest. And he says, great. Well, then you know what? We got an A on this quiz, so mm-hmm. I believe you too. Then Feeney says, we won. And it's really
I know.
Sweet.
That's so sweet.
But yeah, so what I think this episode, it's interesting. It's about, you know, different strokes for different students there, and like what's gonna incentivize the learning process, because Corey doesn't have a gateway into the material that interests him, but there's an end game, you know, an end result that interests him, and so he really dives headfirst into it, and in that process he discovers that he is enjoying what he's learning. So finding different access points for different students is a valuable tool here as an education professional in some way, you know,
yes.
And understanding that students learn differently,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that they need some different motivation sometimes. And one of my best friend's dad, he was a baseball coach for many, many years for, you know, Little League and so on and so forth. And I love this. This is like small town baseball at its finest, like,
mm-hmm.
but he always and I didn't play baseball for them either. Like I was not a part of this. This is something I learned just by being friends with this person. He always said some kids need a pat on the back and some kids need a kick in the ass, and that like the best coaches understand like who needs what yeah. right? And I'm like, that's, you know, spot on. Well, yeah. Spot on motivation for educating young people and understanding their differences, because it's not one size fit all. Mm-mm. That's where I'm at with this episode. It's a nice well, and you know what, now that I say all that too, there's even more little details in this episode about the education system as a whole. Because right off the bat, Corey complains that he studied in the book and the mm-hmm. textbook, and Feeney says, well, our textbooks are outdated because
the Berlin... So outdated.
Right. Well, I mean, not so outdated.
Yeah, Alaska and Hawaii.
Oh, you're right, you're right. 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 Sorry. I was thinking exclusively of the material as it relates to the Berlin Wall.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I mean, that only happened a few years before... this episode would have.
But then he mentions...
But yeah, then he does Hawaii. Say... Yeah, well, Feeney says the textbook says they'll make nice states, and that is in from 59. The 50s. Right. You're right. Okay. Super outdated textbooks.
So, like, that's, that's almost 30...
Well, and from a geography perspective, the entirety of Europe and the Middle East and all of those countries change uh-huh. astronomically between... 1945 and 1991.
Yes.
You know, like there's so many redrawings of mm-hmm. maps in that timeline. I can't imagine trying to keep up with geography then. You know, fortunately, geography has remained fairly stable for the last, I don't know, for my educational upbringing at least. Yes, like we didn't correct. Have any giant shifts. We're like, all right, everybody, starting today.
It's now one
this
Dakota.
Country is now, yeah, you know.
No North and South.
There is only
anymore.
One Dakota. Or like starting one. Today, you know, we have this new country that used to be owned by this country. Yeah. But, you know, like we didn't have any giant things like that popping up. So that's a nice little commentary about funding for education and America's valuing mm-hmm. of it, which I have. Lots of opinions on
for another day.
For another TED Talk. yeah, what did you learn in this episode,
I Megan? Tried to be pretty general as far as what I learned in the episode, just because I wanted to encompass as many subplots as I could. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was more of like sometimes what you think you want is not what you have, but what comes out of it is still pretty good.
Okay.
So for example, the A that Corey got, mm-hmm. he wanted to be bat boy. He didn't get it, but he still got his first A on mm-hmm. his geography quiz. Kind of same thing along the lines for Feeney. He didn't get that trophy, but he still got a student that is now interested in geography and now mm-hmm. realizes the importance of it. And
right, and success there. And yeah.
For Eric, it's he doesn't want parents who are going to go to this concert and mess up his good time and he's going to be self-conscious about it. But then he doesn't turn off the lights. Alan leaves him alone with his girlfriend and basically says, I wish that I had the father that you had. Mm-hmm. So don't take me for granted. Mm-hmm. Here you go. Here's some alone time with your girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
Which yeah. is pretty cool. Same thing even for Minkus. Everyone's like, you need to be cool, trying to convince him that he needs to be cool. And what comes out of it is him saying, well, it was fun while it lasted, but like, I need to be true to myself. And mm-hmm. I really do care about my education. This right. is the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
I tried to kind of make it like an overarching.
That's good. No, that's good. That's a nice like thematic through line for all those little subplots.
Yes. Because I tried to, I mean, that's, when I go through these episodes, a lot of it is me thinking what ties all of these things in together. And right. maybe I shouldn't because everyone is doing their own
thing.
No,
but I think we have our central plot and whatever subplots along the way feed into it somehow. Mm-hmm. And it's good to try. I think that's smart to try to connect them in that capacity.
Yes. Yeah. So that was my general.
Nice. Yeah.
Overall.
Speaking of Minkus and that little... let's make Minkus cool subplot. They're real dicks to Minkus in this episode.
Yes.
Which is, this is again, like, this is where they shifted. They were friends with Minkus before.
Yes.
Like, they were kind of like,
they picked on each other a little bit. They
tight
were...
friends, but like, I don't know, you know, they were chill enough. Yeah. And like, they made some snide remarks. But in this one, they are just
so
mean mm-hmm. to Minkus, you know? They literally, they kidnap him and bring him to Corey's house.
Yeah. Craziest part and the most, I would say the most terrible part of this episode is when he walks into the house and he looks at Amy and is like, call my mom.
Yeah, and she doesn't do anything.
And she doesn't do anything. And he's walking up the stairs and he's spouting out his phone number so right. she can call. And they just don't do anything. And mm-hmm. I'm like, what mother? And they're yeah. right by.
I was like, you're going to follow them upstairs and be like, who are you bullying?
Yeah.
You
know? What's happening?
Right, because they're bullying me, guys, entirely.
Yeah, it's so yeah. much so.
Right. I was a little sad, too, because earlier Sean's throwing shit at Minkus, you know? And yes. instead of his quick wit from earlier, and now he just ow mm-hmm. instead of snapping back.
Which is to kind of set up the joke, obviously, for when Sean does it later to Corey, and yeah. Corey just says ow, and so he has become the new main character.
Right, right. It flows theory. Along those lines. Yes. Yeah.
I think we'll get more quick wit from Minkus.
We do.
Other episodes.
It's good. We get him back.
Yes, we
I think also it's funny in this episode, Topanga doesn't make an appearance, and there's some other girl sitting in front of Corey now. And I'm like, they couldn't even get her in this classroom scene, just sitting in that desk that we've now like assigned to her.
Well, and I decided to make my piece of trivia about actually Topanga this time because she's not in this episode, and I thought that was so weird. The night before they started filming, the director called her, director or producer, one of the two, mm-hmm. called her and was like, just kidding, I've been super impressed by your work and we're going to bump you up. And so she became Topanga.
She was going to be here?
She was going to be one of the two girls at the beginning of the last episode.
Oh, she was going to be the one girl who was doing the little presentation in the last episode.
Yes.
Okay.
He gave her a call.
And then they bumped her up and they're like, no, you're going to be a recurring character. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. So that was my trivia for today, that's even nice. Though Topanga's not actually in
sure.
this episode.
I don't know. This is just general Boy Meets World trivia, but we're talking Topanga trivia. Do you know the origin of her name?
Yes, because okay. they were like, you need to have a name, and he was passing by Topanga Canyon.
Yeah, he was just in a car on the phone passing Topanga Canyon. He said, Topanga, done, fine, whatever.
That's it. That's the one. That's whatever.
Yeah. Great. Cool. I don't know who doesn't know that. That's like a fan of the show at this point. But
yes.
If you didn't, there you go.
I have a fun fact, actually, that I will reveal later because I don't have all of the details.
Okay.
I need to revisit them. But mm-hmm. I actually had a friend who went to college with Topanga.
Oh, yeah? With Daniel Fishel? Cool. That's fun. Where is she? She went to like an Ivy League school, didn't she? No? Am I making that up? Okay.
I think you were thinking of Emma Watson.
Oh, she did. You can buy your way into there now, so it doesn't matter.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, just a couple.
That's true.
Several thousand dollars will get you there, and your parents in prison.
Yeah, and then, you know, your parents go to jail. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm waiting for someone from Boy Meets World or some other sitcom to,
right?
to stand up and be like, we also bought our child's college admission. This is a little bit of a sidebar, but like, and then we're here. I don't feel very good about, there's this news story right now about the cast of Fuller House and their Kids' Choice Awards, like, acceptance speech. So they won some Kids' Choice Award, and it's like Candace Cameron Bure and Jodie Sweetin, like the woman that plays Kimmy.
I don't
remember her name. Anyway, it's like the three of them accepting this award, right? And they are like, they're thanking, you know, Kids' Choice Awards and whatever else you do in these speeches. And they say something about like, and we want to like remind everybody that, you know, like the Fuller House family like sticks together through all the good and the bad. And like all these seemingly innocuous comments that were very kind of clearly directed towards
yes.
like, we stand by Lori Loughlin. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, I'm like, is that really the message you want to go with? You
know.
Really want to be like, it's fine, we love and support you. Like, if you want to be like, hey, I love you as a human because we've known each other for 30 years, but you made some real bad choices and should definitely go to jail.
Yes.
Like, wouldn't get up on national TV and say, like, I support felony.
You're teaching your children
right,
what you can
that,
do with your money.
Yeah, exactly. Fame. Like, I don't know. That I was not here for that. I mean, no. Netflix dropped her from the last season, so that's fine.
That's fine.
I mean, and I think honestly,
it's not like they were integral to the first whatever.
No.
Three seasons.
Well, I mean, no. She's been around. She also got dropped from Hallmark, Lifetime, one of those channels that she has like an affiliation with that has done a lot of movies with her. She's dropped from them and their roster. I think it's interesting while we're talking about college scandal. If you are one of the people who bought your child's way into college, it's on this long list of names that have been exposed. You're probably like, yeah, you're sweating because, like, you know, you got caught and that sucks. But at least someone higher profile than you got caught.
Yes.
So you are not
nationally recognized as such. You know, everyone is zeroing in on two people, and you're there's the other, another 50 or whatever people, but like you're like, well, at least no one knows my name.
Yeah, right. At least I can sleep at night.
Yeah,
camera's trying to break into my
exactly.
House.
Anyway, so we're waiting for Ben Savage to stand up and
tell us would never.
What are we talking about?
I don't even know.
I'm so sorry. It took us way down a rabbit hole there. Education. That's important. This episode was about education. Yes.
So it all ties in.
Getting back to the root of this episode, it's a wonderful Feeny-Corey relationship episode.
Yes.
I love the moment Corey's sitting there and there's all these weird teachers are giving their students shoulder massages.
Yes.
And Feeny, like, and Corey look down the line and he's like, are your shoulders tense? And he's like, a little. And Feeny's like, okay, well then you can roll them out.
Do this, and he just starts
it's
rolling.
It's like he's trying so hard to be such a supportive figure, but he's like still like, but we're still student and teacher, so we're gonna respect that boundary.
And Corey's not like his all stars.
So right, right.
It's kind of an awkward experience because he's already so nervous.
Yeah, it's a good little scene. It's nice. It's good. I love it. And it makes me so happy. Feeny looks at that blank space on his geography awards board that we never see again.
Never see again.
And places Corey's quiz there instead.
But also gave me anxiety that a bunch of 11-year-olds know way more about everything.
Oh, the questions they ask in that. So I did a geography B in 7th grade.
Yes.
I don't remember any questions from it. I do remember...
Darn.
I did all right. It wasn't like a regional geography B. Like, that's the other thing. This doesn't hold up. Corey's in this regional geography B. It's not how this would have worked.
Probably not. No, he would have.
No, it certainly would have. You would have had to been. You would have had to win your class geography B.
Yes.
Then your school geography B.
Yes.
Then you would get sent to a district geography B.
Yes.
Like, there's so many steps
up
the way.
There's a lot of steps.
If we're geography Bs are a little more obscure than a spelling B, but it's the same kind of process. Like when you're a kid and you have a spelling B, your class has a spelling B.
Yes.
Then your grade has a spelling B. Then the school has a, and it's always like you advance as the winner. It's not.
I went to a regional spelling bee.
Did you? I made it to a school spelling bee. I won my class and my grade, and I lost in the school spelling bee. And I think this was also in 7th grade. No, this was 8th grade. My English teacher was very disappointed in me. Because I got out on some stupid, it wasn't even a complicated word.
I got out on a stupid word too.
Yeah. Whatever it was, I told her and she was like, are you serious? And I was like, I just forgot there was two L's or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was something honestly not, it was not a complicated word.
No.
It was just there were double letters in the middle of it that I just didn't say or something like that.
There's some tricky words.
Yeah.
Some tricky words.
I don't know. I mean, a spelling bee and a geography bee, the interesting thing there is, a spelling bee feels so much easier in my mind than a geography bee.
Geography, I feel the questions can be more broad. They can be more broad.
Well, if you have a spelling bee...
You have to spell, period.
Right.
That's
well,
it.
Like,
That's
if I asked you, if I told you, if I say a word that you've never heard before, you can say, great, country of origin, and use it in a sentence, and you get so many context clues to then, you're like, okay, well, I understand the rules of the French language, so this is a French word, and you used it in a sentence, and so it's it's this piece of grammar, and so you can break it down if you understand all those rules and references and context clues. With a geography B, if I ask you a question that's to whom do they belong, referencing the that they say in this episode,
the two emotas,
and to whom do the two emotas belong, I can't be like, there's no context clues I can ask you for.
Right?
There's nothing there that I can try to reference tools. It's just a matter of I know it or I don't.
Yes.
That's the additional challenge with a geography B, I think. Because again, if there were a math competition, again, you understand the tools while you've never seen that problem before. I have the tools to work it out. Or, I guess with a history B, it'd be much the same as a geography
B.
I don't know. Do they do history Bs? Is that a thing?
I don't know. The history, doesn't really change. Geography just still changes.
Right. That's fair. I mean, spelling doesn't. No. Spelling changes. I don't, no, it doesn't.
Not really.
The English
language. But the dictionary changes.
Right. The English language is kind of fucked. So, that
that in itself, just a whole
mess. Anyway, I was in a geography B, though, and I remember I did all right. Reflecting now, like, I wasn't really super into geography. There was definitely some kind of incentive that I wanted, though.
Which is incredible to me that such a small... I'm sure it wasn't even the Phillies who were in the...
what a ridiculous prize series. For the regional spelling bee.
Yes, for the regional spelling bee in Philadelphia. You're going to
be the bat boy for the World Series.
Not
New York,
not Los Angeles, right. Not Chicago.
Like, here's some, you know, middle-of-the-line city and a geography bee, and that's the prize?
And they didn't specify that the Phillies were the ones going to the World Series. Right. I don't know who went to the World Series in 93. Some sports fanatic out there is going to let me know, I'm sure. Yeah. But,
well, you know what? Maybe we could... Because Corey does say, like, when he's, like, imagining it, he says, like, who he's giving a bat to. So that informs who the player in the team would have been, right?
Listen.
Anyway.
If
my best friend listens to this podcast this far, he can let me know.
Yes, there you go.
He'll follow up. If he doesn't know off the top of his head, he would quickly deduce it.
My brother.
As a baseball fan. So I don't know if he'll make it this far. If you have... Thanks, and I'm also listening to your podcast. So, any other lessons we should talk about, or jump to continuity and problematic or continuity and things like that? Anything?
Nothing that I can think of. No.
Continuity wise, that's bothersome. No. I mean, I guess we pointed out the geography board that doesn't really exist in the classroom outside of this episode. Well, or maybe it does, and they just don't frame it. You know, because like the way the classroom's always shot, it's always from like the back corner.
Yes.
Facing that way, so they don't pan the camera. I'm making a gesture
again. Because they want to make it look like there are more students.
Yeah. Nine desks, you're going to believe there's nine students? Anyway, so that's, you know, maybe it shows up again, maybe it doesn't. Talking about the concert, any continuity
it's
there?
It's so funny to me when he walks out of the house and he's like, fine, I'm getting tickets for Eric Clapton. Do you want to And he just starts listing all these groups then at the table, and his mom's like, ours. He's like, Tina Turner, and she's like, my mother's.
Yeah, it's good. It's a nice, fun little music history lesson.
That's also so fun, I think, just to hear as a music fanatic, because he is so excited about these bands that were popular when his parents were around, and even when his grandma was... around, like, he's still so excited about these bands and still wants to see them live. That's super exciting. And I guess just
was Aerosmith releasing new music in the like mid-90s?
Yes,
probably.
Aerosmith is they're like the Rolling Stones, they just keep going.
It's true. Jesus, Steven Tyler. You ever seen video of his like vocal surgery? It's freaky,
it's scary.
It is. I remember watching it like in a health class in middle school.
Yes, exactly. I don't even remember what the context was behind that.
And we were in a health class in middle school, and they showed us this video of Steven Tyler's surgery.
Yes.
It was gross.
I don't remember what the context was surrounding that, but I'm there with you. That happened.
Yeah, for sure. It was weird. I'm curious at the end of this episode, like, what Alan expects Eric and his girlfriend to do on the couch in the living room.
With the lights? Like, well, I mean, I anticipate that he expects them to probably kiss a little, but he just turned out the light, which was a step too far. Because when he turned out the light and Alan popped his head back around, he was like, not that cool.
Right,
Eric.
Yeah.
Turns on the light and, like, shrinks away.
Right, like, they shift to other sides of the couch.
That's absolutely not what he was intending. He wanted you guys to have a moment to, like, you're not going to start tearing off your clothes in the middle of your living room.
Right.
Come on. So he knew that there was a line. He just didn't want the lights to be off because then things could happen. One thing could
see, if I, what I think would have been the cooler dad move, and I don't know that I support this or not, but what, like, the cool dad would have, like, tossed Eric the keys and been like, all right, well, have a good night. We'll see you later, you know? And, like, they disappear wherever they go. It's the only place you can really have privacy when you're a teenager is in a car.
Yes. Maybe he didn't want him to have full privacy. Well, because, again, now we know that Eric is giving hickeys to all the girls.
And that's a gateway drug to pregnancy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's hop, skip, and a jump away from from two kids and a pack of cigarettes. So, God forbid anybody sucks a neck. I sucked a neck.
Okay, like, I sucked a neck.
What a good line. What else? I don't think there's really any big continuity problems.
I don't know. When they're like, Minkus, be cool, and he shows up in that outfit, that's not a cool outfit. Listen, that outfit
looks like is the whitest of white boys
yes.
watched an episode of Fresh Prince and tried their best.
Yes.
And you know what? Whoever's costuming Boy Meets World did a great job yes. of he picking said... out. Like, they didn't. They what they did was they did a good job of not making Minkus cool in that yes. outfit. They made what Minkus thought was cool.
Well, and he said he watched some show.
Says he watched something, and that it's like the degradation of
yes.
Modern entertainment or whatever. And then he says, like, I'm gonna go watch Beavis and Butthead, and everyone fucking cheers again, like in the last episode. And it makes me so mad. Like, I don't know what kind of promotional deal they had with Beavis and Butthead. They were like, we're gonna just say Beavis and Butthead on three times. Episodes of Boy Meets World, and everyone's gonna cheer for it to yes. boost your guys' ratings, and you have to reference us. Like, I don't know what kind of cross promotion shit they were doing here at ABC. But it makes me so mad that Beavis and Butthead was as popular as it was.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't get into a lot of those cartoons, though.
I'm not a fan of adult cartoons.
There are some that I was into. Just not...
Not Beavis and Butthead, obviously.
Anyway, I love Minkus's outfit. I think it's exactly what he would have picked for himself, yes. trying to be cool.
Correct. I think another little continuity thing in the classroom is whenever they zoom in on what's supposed to be the classroom, then you get into the classroom, like on the outside of the school, they pan mm-hmm. in, you can mm-hmm. see the window, mm-hmm. clear as day. You get into the classroom and there are trees outside the window.
Oh, like the crossfading of yes. like where they're presenting the classroom uh-huh. as, but...
And mm-hmm. there are trees covering a lower window
mm-hmm.
in most of the episodes, but yeah. they always pan into the clear window.
Mm-hmm. I wonder where that school actually is. Like where they took that stock footage of for their establishing shots.
Somewhere in California.
Probably. I'm sure it's not in Philadelphia.
No. I'm sure.
It could be. I don't know. All of like Hocus Pocus, that whole movie is shot on location, and that's like that's all those buildings are legitimate, and I don't know, so maybe ABC was into that. Because they didn't really choose Hocus Pocus. Disney did. They owned, I don't know. This is getting convoluted. They had nothing to do with each other.
Not till later.
Yeah, when they bought ABC, like 97 or something.
Disney bought ABC in 96.
Got it.
Just to clarify. No, but were you really a teen show from the late 90s to early 2000s if you did not have an episode where so-and-so goes to Hollywood?
Oh,
we've
yeah.
We've got The Sweet
right?
Life goes to Hollywood. We've got Drake and Josh go to Hollywood. We've got
yeah.
Eric going to Hollywood.
Right, and it happens. Yeah.
That happening.
All these good trips to Hollywood.
Yes.
They're great. Those are top-notch episodes, too.
Absolutely.
Because they're the most self-aware episodes of any...
Yes, like you were just saying about Feeny walking in and right. being like, nine deaths!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What an average.
I love those all of those special episodes because they're so self-aware.
Yes.
And they just, like, they attack their own so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they shit on the entirety of making a sitcom.
Yes.
It's great.
Just the ridiculousness
right.
of
it's
it.
So good. Yeah. Anytime there was like a vacation episode, they're great. You know?
Yes.
Did Saved by the Bell go to... They probably...
I have not seen a single episode of Saved by the Bell ever in my
wow.
life.
Wow. That was really Owen Wilson of me. wow. Seriously.
Yeah. It was never something that I got into.
You should watch Saved by the Bell. There's some top-notch Saved by the... There's also... The thing with Saved by the Bell... This is not a Saved by the Bell podcast. The thing with Saved by the Bell was that... it started off with them in middle school and it started off with, they were like in seventh grade or something.
That middle school to high school jump is so prevalent.
Well, it's like a totally different show. It's because it starts off and it's very similar to where we're at with Boy Meets World, except they spend less time in a house and more time in the school.
Mm.
I mean, Saved by the Bell is, like, one of the most 90s fucking shows.
Yes. Yeah.
Ever. It's if you, like, took a Polaroid of the 90s.
Yes.
Everything about it. You know, like, Casey Kasem radio shit all the time. They go to this diner cafe that's just, like, it looks like an ad from Nickelodeon with all, like, the bright neon triangles
yeah.
and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Everything everyone wears looks like something Urban Outfitters would love to sell today.
Wow.
It is the most snapshot 90s. You should watch it. That's all I'm saying. You should watch. It's all of it is available
all that to say.
On
Hulu,
I believe. They have some good episodes. They have some smoking, some drinking episodes. There's like a whole drug addiction episode. It's where Jesse gets like, she's like trying really hard to do a million things, and she gets like addicted to
Adderall.
Basically Adderall. I don't know if they call it Adderall or if it's something else.
Of course.
There's this whole breakdown scene where she's literally like, she loses her shit in her bedroom, and Zach's like trying to help her stop being addicted to drugs. It is a quintessential scene. It is textbook a very special episode, as they were called.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you know that that's what they always called and presented them as?
A very special episode?
Yeah, whenever like a 90s sitcom did an episode about drugs or drinking or...
No.
Yeah, it was always like, a very special episode was how it was presented.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why the drinking episode of Boy Meets World in season 5, after Corey and Topanga break up and he starts drinking. Yeah, that was a very special episode.
It's one of the only ones that is banned from Disney Channel.
Yeah, they don't air it. Yeah, they don't rerun it. The prom one was another very special episode. Yeah. It's all about sex. Anytime they had episodes about sex, drugs, drinking, things like that.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll.
Yeah. They were very special episodes, was how they would refer to them and introduce them in the TGIF lineup.
And now we've got The Secret Life of American Teenager.
I don't know. Freeform, as it's called now. Is effectively like them and the CW are trying to put as many attractive people in as few clothing as they can while still like catering to a teen audience.
Correct.
Yeah. Who is your MVP of this episode?
My MVP of this episode is... You're going to pick Feeny, aren't you?
Well, you can pick who you're going to pick. Pick who you're going to pick and I'll pick who I'm going to pick.
I would say, actually, my MVP is Corey, which is shocking to me because I never thought that I would get to a place where I would have Corey be the MVP. But I think he really did.
Feels kind of rare, but we'll get him some more times.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he actually worked his tail off for this geography bee, and he got an A in the end. It wasn't like it was all for naught. So he really worked hard and figured out that he enjoys studying. It's not a behavior that I think he's going to keep, but we see him kind of the same as the last episode. We can understand and comprehend that these kids are smart. If they just applied themselves, they would do so well. And this is him actually applying himself and he does well on a test.
Right.
So I think he does good. And granted, he does it for selfish reasons. But again, what comes out of it is something pretty good.
Yeah, my MVP is Feeny.
I knew it!
Well, you know what? It's the last moment when he says,
We won.
Mm-hmm. It's just so nice, you know? The scene where Corey's sitting in the backyard studying, and Feeny comes out, and Corey says, did you know that Hawaii used to be called the Island of Sandwich?
And
Feeny, instead of being like, I'm your teacher, and he's like, oh, really? Tell me more. You know, and that, so
and
like,
he's like, and do you know that he invented, and Feeny's like,
no,
don't suppose.
Right, like he does so, he lets Corey express his enthusiasm for what he's learned, and a fundamental skill in education is being able to explain what you've learned. And so, you know, when I work with kids a lot of times, and they've built something, or we're working on a project together, instead of grabbing their project that they've built and being like, oh, I see you did this, 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 and this. I stop myself from analyzing anything they've done, even though I can pretty clearly visually see most of the time what they've done, and instead just ask them, tell me what you've done. Like, tell me about it.
Yes.
And then like, oh, we did this and this. Oh, well, how did you do this? You know, and ask them these questions because their understanding of the material is heightened by their ability to express it back to you.
Yes.
I agree. And so that right there is education at its finest, in that as the educator, I understand the concept, but if I don't allow you to explain the concept to me, then you will not explain it, or you will not understand it as deeply as you could. And Feeny is a top-notch teacher.
We should keep a tally of how many times Mr. Feeny is the MVP of the week.
You're right. We should. We'll go back and check that, and we'll keep an eye out for it.
I think that, we should just do that.
We should keep a spreadsheet of who gets MVP. Yeah, we should, for sure. Any booms?
Nope.
All right.
We're going 4 episodes strong. Honestly, now I'm rooting for there to not be, because the more I tally it up, it's like we've had 4 episodes. So that's like 1 in 5.
Yeah.
1 in 5 for a boom.
Decent.
It's a decent, that's a pretty decent statistic. So I understand if the boom guy has not been fired.
I mean, it's
yet.
A C. Or yeah. B. I don't know. It depends on your grading scale.
Does, yes.
It's a C in grade school.
Yes.
Any closing thoughts?
No.
Spay and neuter your pets.
Spay and neuter your pets. I'm saying.
Class dismissed.